Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Air Purifier Thunderstorm. The three-pack is back. To order, go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in code Howie3. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's The Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. I cannot believe it's already 2 o'clock, but here we are. And as always, on Tuesdays, that means it's time for 2A Tuesdays with Toby Leary. He is our gun expert. Unlike Dr. Fauci, though, he doesn't try to tell you what to do. He just offers some advice and suggestions, and that means you can call in about anything. You can call in about guns, about the law, about ammo. Whatever your question is, Toby will have the answer. 844-500-4242. And if he doesn't have the answer, well, he'll get a lot of heat for it later on in the blogs. And that's always, you know, a fun time for us. Now, Toby Leary, thank you so much for joining the Grace Curley Show.
No problem. Thanks for having me, Grace. And if I don't know the answer, I'll be sure to make something up.
That's always a good plan. Make it up on the fly. 844-500-4242. I will take all of your calls. I know we don't end up getting to everyone today, so we'll try to get to as many people as possible. I will also be reading the text line. If you don't feel comfortable calling in, you can always shoot me a text, 63566. Start the text with the word curly. Now, I'm not going to take up a lot of Toby's time at the beginning. We're going to dive right into this. But I would be remiss, Toby, if I didn't at least ask for your reaction to last week's news from Alec Baldwin that, according to him, he did not pull the trigger.
Yeah, the Academy Award goes to. it's unbelievable that I couldn't imagine his lawyer telling him to go on national TV and say what he said. I bet you his lawyer is like, you know, giving him that stout legal advice, shut the blank up. But anyway, he went on there and made a fool of himself as far as I'm concerned. But the interesting thing about what he said was, if you had an old antique gun and you pulled the hammer fully to the rear but didn't get it to click in, like, say 90% of the way there, and then you let go of the hammer, a round would go off. That would be equivalent to basically pulling the trigger. The good news is, since, you know, in modern times, you know, the 50s and 60s, they started to get smart with, hey, that's not a good idea, just having a firing pin resting on a live round so that if you hit the hammer, the gun could go off. And so they put transfer bar safeties in, and they put, you know, other type of safeties in some of these guns. So, you know, I find that to be extremely troubling, what he said, that he pulled the hammer back and then let go of the hammer, and he didn't pull the trigger. And I frankly call, you know, Barbara Streisand on that and say, you know, good luck proving that in court, especially when the gun is there and you could replicate that, you could duplicate that, and there's been a lot of people doing that on Instagram and YouTube and everything else. So.
And Toby, it's funny because when I was talking to my dad about this, and you've met my dad, he's been to Cape Gunworks and he's shot some firearms, but he doesn't, you know, he's not an expert in it by any means, but he even said to me the same thing. He said they know what kind of gun this is. They know what it has the capability of doing. And he described that same thing that you just said with the bar. And it's kind of amazing that Alec Baldwin, it's got to be ego that he doesn't think there's going to be Toby Learys in the world who can say that's false. And here's how we know it's false. Like, he really thinks he's going to be able to act his way out of this.
Yeah, I mean, when I first took my license to carry class in, you know, whatever, I was 18 years old, and the cop who gave me the class took an inordinate amount of time, I thought at the time, to tell me how guns work. And then he basically summed it all up with, so don't think that I didn't pull the trigger, the gun just went off, is going to be a legitimate legal argument if you end up having a discharge with a firearm that you didn't intend on. Because modern guns only work when you press the trigger. That's what makes a gun go off, is when you pull the trigger. And so, you know, I took that advice very seriously, and I said, you know what? Obviously, this guy knows what he's talking about, so keep your finger off the trigger until you're ready to shoot. And so, you know, if he had some old cowboy gun that was not a modern firearm, even though I think it was made in the late 60s, the one that he was using, chances are it has some sort of transfer bar safety in it. Maybe it doesn't. I don't know. But either way, the equivalent of thumbing the hammer back and just letting the hammer drop at full speed would be equivalent to pulling a trigger. And the fact that he tries to cut down gun owners and try to make gun ownership illegal, when he's the one who should have been taking firearm safety classes if he's going to be handling guns and know what he's doing while he's aiming weapons at people. The best part of the whole thing was when he said, oh, and I wasn't aiming it at her. Well, bullets aren't heat-seeking missiles. They don't come out of the barrel and do like an S-turn to shoot somebody and then somebody else behind them. The gun only goes off and hits what it's aiming at.
So yeah, he's been watching too many Hollywood movies.
Right. He thinks like the Matrix is, you know, all of a sudden took over and his bullet, you know, found its unintended target. But no, you were squarely pointing the gun at the girl.
Yeah, and I just find it amazing, Toby, and then I am going to go right to the callers here. We already have a lot of people. We do have some lines open, though, so it's 844-500-4242. We talk a lot on this show about demystifying the gun and, you know, making people realize that this gun is a tool. You know, my husband says it to me sometimes, too. He says, I really wish you'd learn how to use it because it's just like any other tool. I mean, it comes with a lot of responsibility, but there's plenty of, you know, construction tools that are the same way. You have to know how to use them so you don't get hurt. And what Alec Baldwin is doing is the exact opposite. He's really lending, he's putting air into the theory that these guns walk around and commit crimes and can do these things on their own. And one of the sources in a New York Post story, I think he was like a gun expert on Hollywood sets, he said this legally is a horrible thing to do because it's going to open up a whole can of worms about people who just claim, the gun went off. And like you said, that doesn't happen. So I don't think we'll go down that road. But it's pretty asinine if you're this incredibly wealthy celebrity and you have these, I'm assuming, these great lawyers, and you still decide to go with this nonsense.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, guns can mechanically fail, but I highly doubt that was what happened at this point. You know, like, especially if a company has been hired to keep these guns for movie production and rental and whatnot. These are, you know, very well-respected companies that keep good, you know, guns in good working order for all the right reasons. And I think that's going to be a tough argument to overcome.
Well, we'll keep everybody posted on it, Toby. I do want to go to the calls here. Let's start with Frank. You're first with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. Go ahead, Frank.
Hi, how are you, Toby?
Good, how are you, Frank?
Good. I got a question for you. My father died when I was five back in 1980, and before he died, he left a revolver to my uncle to give to me when I got older. Since then, my uncle's moved to North Carolina. I'm a Mass LTC. I highly doubt my uncle has a LTC down in North Carolina. How would I be able to get that old revolver? I believe it's a high standard revolver.
Okay. Do you think it's over 50 years old?
I definitely know it's over 41 years old.
Okay. The unfortunate thing for you is if that firearm has left the state, and there's only one way you're going to get it back, and that is if the gun is over 50 years old, you could apply for your Type 3 FFL, which is a Curio and Relics license. And so it's a federal firearms license. It's very cheap and inexpensive and pretty easy to get. I would apply for that. And then once you have that license, your uncle can go ahead and mail the gun right to you, and you just log it into a bound book. And that is a federal firearms license that is available for collecting purposes. And if a gun is over 50 years old, it's deemed a curio and relic. And so then it could be shipped right to your door under that FFL, and you can log it in your book and just keep it as long as you want. And you could also, you know, down the road sell it. But that's really the only way to do it, because if it's not on the approved firearms roster, he can't just ship a gun to you. That's interstate, you know, can't sell guns across state lines. But as a federal firearms license holder, you can collect curio and relics, any gun over 50 years old, and then it can be shipped to your door. So that'd be the only way to get it that I can think of, unfortunately. So,
thanks for the call, Frank. Good answer, Toby. Let's go to Ray. You're next with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks in Hyannis. Go ahead, Ray.
How you doing, Toby?
Good. How are you, Ray?
Good. Hey, I am a veteran from the Vietnam era, and all of a sudden I got this thought in my head about a week or so ago. It's like, when I was in basic training, the weapon they used was an M14, just before the transition to the M16. Is it still produced? And is anybody able to buy them?
Obviously, the semi-automatic version, and we actually have a couple in stock at Cape Gunworks. We have one made by Beulah Defense, which is actually M14 marked, and it's the mil-spec. It's the actual mil-spec that the M14 was made from. And
expensive.
There's also Springfield Armory, which makes the civilian version of that gun, which is called the M1A. So they never marked their M1As M14s, even though they were the original manufacturer of the M14.
Are they expensive, but Toby?
Beulah Defense has the mil-spec that is M14. So if you want one of those, you can get it, or the Springfield Armory. I believe we have both in stock right now. So,
Toby, he wants to know if they're expensive.
Yeah, they run about $1,700 up to about $2,700.
All right, thank you for the call, Ray, and thank you for your service, and welcome home. We so appreciate everything you've done for this country. When we get back, we'll take more calls from Toby Leary, whether it's about ammo. I'm sure the supply chain crisis is affecting Toby somehow, so we'll take calls on anything you guys want, 844-500-4242. Already getting a lot of texts here, but I'm going to have to decipher what they mean before I read them on the air, because sometimes I embarrass myself. So we'll make sure we got the questions, and we'll ask Toby when we return. Don't go anywhere. This is 2A Tuesday, and this is The Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Grace Curley is pure Americana.
I'm so off the cuff. I'm so unpredictable. And I have a leather bomber jacket. I'll take your question anyway, kid. An American
girl. This is The Grace Curley Show.
What does Toby think of the zinc frame for the new Diamondback Sidekick? Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks, do you have an answer for our texter?
The zinc frame for the Diamondback Sidekick?
Yes.
Huh.
9-round, 22 caliber, and long rifle. Great, but why a zinc frame, right 603?
Huh. Well, zinc is like, I don't know. I haven't seen it. I'm not even going to weigh in on that one until I see it. Let me see if I can find it. But it's a single-action gun, similar to what Alec Baldwin used in his, set of Rust, in that tragedy that took place. And zinc is just I guess it's a cheap metal to use. I don't know. The 22 sidekicks or the 22 single-action guns, like the Ruger makes one, the Ruger Wrangler, they're not the highest quality gun, but they keep price down. So people who want a cheap shooter, I assume that's what it is. But I don't know. I'd have to look at it. It's an alloy frame, I'm sure. So it's probably not just all zinc, but it's something to put in the news, I would guess.
We have a lot of questions coming in on the text line, but I always say, Toby, we take the callers first. So let's go to Ted. You're next with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. Go ahead, Ted.
Hi, Grace. Love your show.
Thank you.
I just had a question. If you guys had any thoughts about the possible prosecution of the parents in that Michigan case. I'm just curious what your thoughts on that.
Yeah, that's a good question, Ted. And actually, that was a story I did want to bring up to Toby. So, Toby, the horrible school shooting that happened in Michigan, the parents are being charged. And I think that the gun, and forgive me, Ted, I'm not 100% on all these details, but the father bought the gun and the son got a hold of it. And now they're saying that the parents are partially responsible here. Do you have any insight into that?
Yeah, I think the parents are responsible in a lot of ways in this situation. They bought this gun for their son, and which a lot of parents do. It's been a tradition going back hundreds of years. I mean, my 12-year-old daughter, quote-unquote, has two guns, you know what I mean? But the point is, I don't leave it in her dresser drawer, or I don't leave it in a place where she can access. It is under lock and key. I am the responsible person. It's my gun, technically, under the letter of the law, because a 16 or 17-year-old or a 12-year-old cannot legally own a gun. So they, you know, use it under supervision. In this case, the parents knew their kid was in and out of trouble at school, had a gun that they bought for him and had in a drawer where he knew where it was and had access to it. I mean, that's a recipe for disaster. They were called into the school that very day to talk, you know, to the school about his behavior. And the kid goes back to school that day and shoots up the school. It's ridiculous.
I know. And there were so many, there were so many red flags, Toby, to your point. There were so many. I mean, he was, you know, drawing these disturbing things. He has access to this gun. And, you know, our hearts break for those families who probably are thinking to themselves, you know, the writing was on the wall. If only someone had, if one of these parents had stepped in and done the right thing. So I agree with you there, Toby, and I appreciate the call, Ted. A lot of good points. Toby, let's go to Ken. You're next with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. Go ahead, Ken.
Yes. Toby, I have a number of firearms, and I haven't used one particular one in a long time, and it's a Walther PPKS, stainless steel made by Interarms.
Yep.
And when I dropped the trigger housing and I bring it back, she's not coming out. Should I call up the people in Arkansas that produces them now, or who should I call? I mean, I am very familiar with firearms, but I don't know what the holdup is.
I'm not quite following you. What do you mean she's not coming out? In other words, you pull the trigger and nothing happens?
No. Arnold Walters, be it a PPK yep. or a PPKS, you got to yep. bring the housing down and leave it on the side.
Oh,
and
okay.
bring the slide back over the receiver.
I do. Sure. Yep. Yeah, I would bring it into a competent gunsmith should probably be able to take a look at it. And if they can't do it, they could certainly send it back to Walther for you for service. But I would just, whoever's a competent gunsmith by you, if there's a gun store that, you know, provides gunsmithing services, I would just bring it by there and they could probably take care of it for you. A lot of times if you have guns that sit around for a while, the oil or the grease coagulates and ends up becoming very stiff in the weapon from lack of use and just from sitting around. And sometimes it gums up parts and makes it tough to disassemble or to take down. And in some cases, seizes up the slides altogether. I've seen guns that basically have no moving parts after sitting there for so long. So, yeah, I would just bring it down to a local gun store and have them take a look at it for you.
844-500-4242. I see everybody on the lines. We'll get right to your calls. We do have a couple lines open, though, if you have a question for Toby. A lot of people are texting in. We'll get to those texts when we return. Now's the time to talk to Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. It's 2A Tuesday. Call in now.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio. It was a last Christmas. We stayed in the house. We covered our nose and covered our mouth. But it's Christmas time. We'll be in line for a booster.
Johnny Carson would be ashamed of the men and women who are on late night TV now. This is supposed to be funny. This is a comedy show. I can't remember the last time I laughed at a actual skit from one of these late night shows. I've laughed at them, but not with them, if that makes sense.
I'm funny how? I mean funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you, I make you laugh. What do you mean funny? Funny how? How am I funny?
Now, according to Fox News, the White House is going to answer questions about Biden and Putin's meeting. I'm sure Jen Psaki will circle back on a lot of things. She will tell us that context matters. Context is important, as you know, Peter Ducey. And she will also, she won't dumb this down for the American people, because that's important. Did I miss any of her key points, Jared?
No, I think that's everything. We got context. We got hammer and sickling back. We got all of it.
We're going to hammer and sickle back. I
only
like
because
that.
She wore the pink hat with the hammer and sickle on it.
Well, Jared, can we get a fact check on that? It's complicated. I love it when there's like an actual thing that is a straight fact.
It
Jen Psaki wore that hat.
It was dusty coral.
Yeah, it was more of a salmon.
Denied.
So it's kind of complicated. Taken out of context, today's poll question is brought to you by Heart Transportation in Maine. Heart Transportation is hiring drivers with full benefits and, get this, no vaccine mandates. Apply today at heartdrivers.com. That's Heart, H-A-R-T-T, drivers.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
What intimidation tactic do you think Biden used with Putin? Cut it out. I'll turn this car around. Red line in the sand. Come on, man, or I'm going to count to three.
I would say I'll turn this car around, but he hasn't been let near a car in years.
Hey, he's a car guy.
He's a car guy. I'm going to say cut it out.
Cut it out, polling at 15%, which is good for second place, but running away with it is...
Come on, man.
He probably did drop a come on, man, if not just for the technical difficulties of trying to get on the Zoom call. Come on, man. All right, we're talking to Toby Leary. We got a lot of people on the lines. Toby, I'm going to ask you just one text here, and then we'll go back to the callers. This is from 617. Toby, if I get my Utah and Florida non-resident concealed carry licenses, would there be any obstacles for me to drive with my firearms from Mass to Florida? I know that you've answered this question before, but it's still confusing to me.
Yeah. So, number one, you don't have to get both the Utah and the Florida non-resident. If you get the Florida non-resident, it covers all the same states as the Utah non-resident. Number two is you're allowed safe passage through any state with or without that license as long as the gun is unloaded and cased and locked up. So you can't be charged with, you know, having a firearm in any state if you're just traveling through. So, but if you want to cap concealed, you still don't quite have the coverage you need to put your gun on your holster and jump in the car and drive from Massachusetts to Florida. There's a whole gauntlet of states that you would not be protected in, like Connecticut, Rhode Island, New York, New Jersey, et cetera, et cetera. All the usual suspects. You know, it might help you once you hit, like, South Carolina or something like that. I don't even know off the top of my head exactly which states. But it's like 36 states have reciprocity with Utah and Florida. But the Utah one does not allow you to carry concealed in Florida. So if you want Florida, get the Florida non-resident. So
got it.
It is confusing. No.
All right, let's go to Baxter. He's been waiting a while. Go ahead, Baxter. You're talking to Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks.
Hi, Grace. Thanks for taking my call. Hi, Toby.
Hi, Baxter.
So, Toby, I called in and talked to Grace about this last week. So I wanted to just a couple quick comments. So the sheriff that's investigating in Santa Fe, he went on the news. It was already publicly by that sheriff that the revolver was a Traditions 1873 long Colt. Made by Piatta, the Italian company. So he went on record saying that is the revolver. Now, mm-hmm. if that is true, then I'd say there's a 99.9% chance that there's a transfer bar in that revolver. And one of the things, second comment was, I used to own Ruger revolvers. And there is kind of a cool thing you can do if you do it safely to even test the transfer bar. You know, obviously you open up the cylinder, make sure you count empty holes there, But if you take a pencil and hold a Ruger revolver, say, at 12 o'clock, put a pencil in it, and you pull the trigger, the pencil will bounce out about an inch because of the transfer bar hitting the firing pin. If you do the same thing a second time, cock the hammer up to the full single action position, and then take a small plastic mallet and just tap the trigger, the hammer will fall and the pencil doesn't move. So that you can test it yourself, make sure that transfer bar is working, but as long as you do it safely, though.
So what Baxter's saying, Toby, if I'm gathering this right, is that there's just Alec Baldwin is going to have to make a really strong case for being the 0.01% chance.
Right. Yeah. I think even if it doesn't have a transfer bar, like I said earlier, is, you know, pointing, let's just say it's the old school 1873 single action army, like a single first generation, and the hammer has the firing pin that's going to hit the primer. When you pull the hammer back and you let it go and fire the gun, guess what? You just fired the gun. It's not anyone's fault but Alec Baldwin's for not knowing how that gun operates. So, and not knowing if the gun is loaded or not. You know, I tend to agree with him on the fact that if he was told cold gun, even that's up for debate. But if someone handed him a gun that was loaded and said, here's a cold gun, at the very least, not knowing how the gun works, if it is the old school single action army that has a firing pin on the hammer and no transfer bar safety, you pull that like 75% of the way back and let go of that hammer while you're pointing it at somebody, chances are you're going to fire the gun and hurt someone. It's pretty much equivalent to pulling the trigger, just letting the hammer drop. So, you know, frankly, at some point, someone needs some education on how firearms work. Number two, you know, he was the producer of the film, so he's culpable in that way, not having the safety, you know, parameters set up properly. So I just found it hard to watch when he says, I don't know, somebody's responsible, but it isn't me. Okay, you know, I empathize, but no.
Well, Toby, to be fair, I think Alec Baldwin would have a response to your argument, and that would be this.
Consider the source.
Okay, so maybe be careful is all I'm saying. Don't mess with Alec Baldwin. He's got a temper, man. He's got a temper. All right, let's go to John. You're next with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. Go ahead, John.
Hey, what's going on, Grace? I just had a quick question for Toby. I have a Ruger Ranch rifle, and it's chambered in .223. And I know that, you know, I'm not supposed to shoot 5.56, obviously, simply for the case pressure. In a pinch, could you? And also, the real reason I'm asking or calling, really, somebody put this ridiculous, furniture on it, and it looks like. It looks like the Planet of the Apes' bad nightmare. Where can I buy good Ruger quality wood stocks and like make this thing look like it's supposed to again?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. The question of will it shoot in a pinch is maybe. There's some guns that will, some guns that won't, and usually they'll run very, you know, not consistently. So you might get a lot of misfires. Again, I wouldn't recommend it if the gun is marked 223. It's not a good idea. But I do know from experience having shot 223 in a 5.56 in a 223 years ago as kind of a science experiment that it ran like one out of four shots went off. And in some cases, it might run flawlessly. You don't know. But the good rule of thumb is don't bother. Just get 223. There's plenty of it around. And secondly, believe it or not, eBay, you could probably get some original wood furniture for that gun. There's also some other companies that make some aftermarket ones. I don't know when your gun was manufactured, but if it's prior to 94, I personally would get the Samson. Samson, it's a Massachusetts-based company, makes the original style factory folding stock for that gun, which I think is the coolest thing on earth. The A-Team made it especially cooler. So I would put one of those on if the gun is pre-94. If it's not, don't, because it'll be an assault weapon at that point. So,
wow, all right. That's good advice. That's very good advice. Yeah. Good answer, Toby. I don't think you're going to get a lot of hate today on the blogs. You're pretty strong today.
I want to hear the 18 theme song, though. That's really wild.
We'll pull that out for you. Let's go to Billy Mack. You're next to Toby Leary from Cape Gunn. Go ahead, Billy Mack.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. Toby, I just purchased a Ruger Mini M14, and it's got the mini little plastic 5-round clip. It's chambered for 223 and 5.56, but I'm running 223 through it. Do you guys have pre-band, 15, 30-round bananas?
We do get them from time to time. That's a hard one to keep in stock. Usually when they come in, they go pretty quick. And that's the same gun as the one the last caller was just talking about, the Ruger Ranch rifle. Yours sounds like it is chambered in 5.56. And, yeah, you're right, they come with the 5-round mags. You can at least get a 10-round factory Ruger mag. But there are some pre-bands floating around. That gun's been around for a while, so there's plenty that were made prior to 94. Eagle Arms made some that were actually did double duty as an AR-15 mag and a Ruger Mini 14 mag, so they're all clear polymer plastic, and they run pretty good. But there's some kicking around. There's a couple different manufacturers, and of course the Ruger factory ones. But I don't have any currently, and I know when we get them, they last. You can measure their time on the shelf in hours, not days. So there's a lot of people looking for them. So good luck in your hunt for those. But they are out there.
Thank you for the question, Billy Mack. We got time for one more, Toby. Let's go to Jay. You're next with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. Go ahead, Jay.
Hey, Toby. Great show, as always. Just a little advice on the Mini 14. Don't waste your money on the 223. Buy the 5.56, and you can do whatever you want with it. And then the other good advice is stick with the Ruger factory-made magazines. They're the only ones who work. But I had a question. Let's say you have a family member who has a bunch of guns and they've had them for 60 years and that person passes away and then the wife says, hey, just come take them. Like, what happens if you're properly licensed in several states, Massachusetts being one of them, and you grab those firearms, stick them in a safe, and then somebody finds you with them? What happens?
Well, I guess technically under the letter of the law, you could be charged with failure to register a firearm because basically the firearms transaction portal is for whenever a transfer takes place, and you're technically only allowed to transfer 4 guns privately per year. So if you took a safe full of guns from somebody's house, technically you could be in violation of the law. My recommendation would be to register them, or you can choose option 2 on the gun transaction portal and register them, so at least they're registered, so that part of it is out of the equation. And maybe it happened back on a date before registration was a thing in Massachusetts. I don't know, but the bottom line is, if it was to happen today, like somebody said, hey, somebody passed away and there's 10 or 15 guns in his collection, we would recommend bringing them into a licensed gun dealer and having them do the sale that way, because the person, there is a way to inherit guns as well on the mass transaction portal, but you'd need to have the license to carry of the deceased as well to do that. So but those are basically your 2 or 3 options on how to do it. So I would just get them registered, so at least that's off the table. So
all right, now Toby, where can people listen to your show? I know they can check out Cape Gunworks in Hyannis, but if they want to listen to you on the radio, where can they go?
Yeah, they can go to our website, capegunworks.com, and click on Rapid Fire. That's the link for when we record the show live. You can listen live, and you can be a part of the show and type in your questions into the chat. We get to your questions throughout the hour or 2-hour show, depending on where you're listening. We're on WRKO, WCRN, and WXTK down on the Cape. So that airs between Saturday and Sunday, depending on which station you're listening to. And wherever you find your podcasts, you can type in Rapid Fire, all one word, and listen to it as a podcast. But we recommend go to the website, and then you'll be alerted when we go live. So,
all right, awesome. And Toby, I do have some text messages I wasn't able to get to. I will save those for next week. And if you didn't get your question in, there's always next time. Here's a little bit of the A-team for Toby.
There we go.
Thank you so much, Toby Leary. By the way, everyone, Eden Pure has done it again. The three-pack for the Thunderstorm air purifier is back. It's a great time to get it because that means you can have one for yourself, maybe one for your car. And if you're feeling extra generous on this holiday season, this Christmas season, you can give one away as a gift, which I think is a really good idea.
Everybody has that friend that has the house that smells that they don't know smells. This is a great way to give it to them without saying, hey, your house stinks. It's like, here, this is a great product that I've discovered. It actually purifies air. It sends out ions. It ionizes air. It creates a super oxygen. It can get rid of any allergens or pollutants, odors, anything in the air that you don't want to be breathing. Merry Christmas from me to you.
Yes, your Christmas gift is pure, clean air. You can't beat that. This is your chance. Right now, you can get the three units for less than $200 and save $200. Sometimes you see these units online. They cost like $800. They're huge. They're bulky. They've got wires that you don't want to trip on. You can't move them up and down and bring them places. These are small units. They're like the size of a computer charger. No one's going to notice them. They're basically silent. And they work magic. So go to EdenPureDeals.com, click my name, put in code word GRACE3 to save $200 on their special three-pack. That's EdenPureDeals.com, click my name, and use code word GRACE3. Like we said, you know, keep one for yourself, maybe put one in the kitchen, give one to a friend. This is a great time to get three of these devices. Everyone who bought one always ends up buying more. So, you know, you want to kill three birds with one stone. Let's get the Eden Pure Thunderstorm 3-pack. That's one more time here, EdenPureDeals.com. Click my name, use code word GRACE3. And I don't think we're going to be able to say this for much longer, but as of today, all orders will be shipped before Christmas. Music to your ears. We'll be right back with Howie Carr. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley. She's the cool kid at the lunch table.
I want a hamburger. No, a cheeseburger. I want a hot dog. I want a milkshake. I want potato
You'll
chips.
Get nothing and like it.
This is The Grace Curley Show.
But always will our whole nation remember the character of the onslaught against us.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. It is December 7th, National Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day. Joining me now for the car crossover is the one and only Howie Carr. Howie, thanks so much for coming on the show today.
My pleasure, Grace.
Now, we don't have a lot of time, so I just want you to give people a sneak peek of what they can expect on your show today. I know you've got a lot planned.
I think the Deep State got some more bad polling numbers on Omicron because Fauci is downgrading it even further today.
I know, Howie. I saw that. Well, 121 people got Omicron at a Norwegian Christmas party, and they all have mild symptoms.
And all of them are alive.
Yeah.
And all of them can taste hard candy. It's an amazing thing. And several of them said in Norwegian, "This I've had worse hangovers than this." Have you heard people say that, Grace? Because I have.
Well,
we've had the COVID.
Yes. I have heard that.
So that's
and this
how
is good
seriously
news because
I take
this
it.
Means that the virus is getting weaker, which means the deep state is getting more and more concerned. What
Hysterical.
Will they do? What
Hysterical.
Will they do now? Howie Carr is coming up next. Another great show planned. Don't go anywhere.